As I said at the beginning, there is a wide variety of contributions in the June edition of Let's Talk, and some of them fortunately take us well away from the current crisis. Derek James, for example, paid tribute to Elizabeth Fry, who was born in Norwich 240 years ago. For many years, she featured on the £5 note, so you have probably carried her picture around with you. Here is Neil Haverson to read about Elizabeth Fry.
There are many people from history who we wish we could have met, and I'm sure many of us would have loved to sit down and talk to a woman born in Norwich on May the 21st, 1780. The little girl they called Betsy became known as the Angel of Mercy, and she dedicated her life to improving hellish conditions for women in prison. In fact, she devoted her life to helping others. In notorious Newgate Prison, where girls and women were beaten and tortured, she offered a rare hand of friendship, comfort and hope for the future. She wrote of her days visiting Newgate, "All I tell thee is a faint picture of reality. The filth, the closeness of the rooms, the furious manner and expressions of the women towards each other, and the abandoned wickedness, which everything bespoke, are really indescribable." What made Elizabeth such an achiever is that she had friends in high places who could turn words into deeds and help these poor women, rather than listen, nod, and do nothing, as was often the way. Queen Victoria admired her work and granted her audiences, while Robert Peel passed acts to further her cause. The King of Prussia also met Elizabeth during her tours of Europe, promoting welfare and prison reform, and he visited her at Newgate Prison. Make no mistake, she upset a lot of people during her life as a prison reformer, and thank goodness she did. Irish journalist and author Avril Douglas Opperman wrote a book about Elizabeth 5 years ago and told me, "She was a fascinating person, but she had plenty of faults. I've tried to make sure this book will appeal to those who are not avid readers of history or biography." And she added, "The more I discovered about Elizabeth, the more I wanted to do, and the fact she wasn't perfect made the story all the more interesting." A member of the powerful Gurney Bank family in Norwich, she was born at Gurney Court off Magdalen Street in the heart of the old city, and moved with the clan to Earlham Hall. As a girl, she reached out to children from the poor parts of Norwich, and there were plenty of them. She invited them to the hall, and they became known as Betsy's Imps. Her father was John Gurney, a cloth manufacturer and partner in Gurney's Bank, and her mother Catherine, who died when she was 12, was one of the Barclays. The family were Quakers, who look out for the good of all mankind. Elizabeth helped to look after her brothers and sisters following the death of her mother, and then when 18, she was inspired on hearing American Quaker William Savory talk about how important it was to look after the welfare of the poor, the sick, and how essential it was to care for the less fortunate. She never forgot those words. This was a time when so many men thought the best way to treat a woman accused of breaking the law, however petty or invented, was to lock her up in hell and throw away the key. Elizabeth married banker Joseph Fry in the summer of 1800. They moved to London, where she had 11 children while continuing her good work. Hers was not a cushy life, as we might imagine the wife of a banker then could be, sipping tea and turning her back on the real world. Her husband was running out of money and would eventually go bankrupt, but it was a visit to Newgate Prison which sparked her prison reform work. She was appalled and saddened to see how the women were treated. She went to comfort, not condemn, and she dedicated the rest of her life to helping these poor prisoners. Elizabeth founded a prison school for the innocent children who were jailed with their mothers. She established education classes and set up the Association for the Reformation of the Female Prisoners. Prisons in Newgate, it was the first of its kind. In 1880, she became the first woman to present evidence in Parliament, describing in lurid detail the condition women prisoners were subjected to and how they should be looked after by women, not men, often corrupt and evil men who made their lives a misery, and that women should be educated. Elizabeth toured this country and abroad, setting up groups and societies, addressing the House of Commons and the House of Lords Select Committee. And it wasn't just female prisoners she helped in so many ways. There were the district visiting societies to work with the poor, providing libraries for coast guards. And in 1840, she opened a training school for nurses. Her pioneering work continued in many different ways until she died from a stroke in Ramsgate on October the 12th, 1845. Following her death, and through the influence of the Lord Mayor of London, the first Elizabeth Fry Refuge was established to perpetuate her memory. Memorials to her include plaques in Gurney Court and her childhood home, Earlham Hall, and at the Friends Meeting House in Upper Goat Lane, Norwich. A street is named in her honour in Norwich, and the University of East Anglia's School of Social Work and Psychology is housed in a building named after her. Hospital wards and schools bear her name in Britain and abroad. The Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies honours her memory by advocating for women who are in the criminal justice system and also holds a National Elizabeth Fry Week in Canada each May. Elizabeth Fry is no longer the face on the £5 note. She was replaced 4 years ago by Winston Churchill, but the memory and legacy lives on of this extraordinary woman who certainly deserves the title of being a Norfolk icon.
Thank you, Neil. You will, of course, be getting the last word in later.